Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. It's me, the most consistent motherfucker you know, the libertarian Tupac, and I'm joined by he, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the king of the cocks. What is up, my brother?
Dude, you had me fired up last night. Shaved my head getting ready for battle.
That was my goal. That was my goal, to get Robbie the Fire. I was speaking to an audience of one, as they would always say when anyone defended Donald Trump on the corporate press there on TV.
I came back from doing an open mic. I was eating some late night dinner, and I was like, oh, look, Davey did, there was some urgency here. He just went live at night.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I figured we could talk a little bit more about that today. Curious, though, where'd you do an open mic? Out there in Connecticut?
Yeah, New Haven.
Oh, okay. Nice. How was it?
I mean, it was an open mic, but it's nice to
people,
try and work
were people
on some
like
stuff.
Excited? I imagine there's like an energy now where people are like, oh, yeah, okay, we're doing an open mic. That's pretty cool.
I think
cool.
You forgot what open mic looks like.
It's been damn near over a decade
still
since
open
I've
mic.
Touched one. I still, if there's an open mic within miles of me, I wake up in a cold sweat and I'm like, oh, they're here. The open micers, they're close.
It's people that get together to be miserable around each other. It's like, let's all share a dream and ignore each other while working on their jokes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I did a stream last night that was kind of a continuation of our last podcast because there had been some more developments. There's been more developments since that. So I kind of wanted to talk a bit more about this whole situation. I'm going to be recording with the great one. With Tom Woods later on today, and we'll talk about.
I thought
it on
you
his
said
show
I thought
well.
You were going to say Owen, and I got really excited.
Well, if only. no, I'm recording with Tom Woods later, so we're gonna talk about this a bit. But I just think this is like it was such an interesting moment. There's so many like layers to it, and then new things keep happening after I've recorded on it, and I'm like, oh shit, I need to talk about that. So the reason I felt like I had to do this live stream last night. Is because we basically talked a bunch about these COVID passports, and then after the episode, after we recorded, but before the episode streamed, so we record these things around noon, and then we stream them later on that day, and they come out the next day. So after recording, I almost like got myself amped up and just started going nuts on Twitter. And then this led to this whole tsunami, which has really just been exploding. My Twitter is still just blowing the fuck up to the point that it's almost a little annoying. Like I love getting all the new followers. It makes it impossible to like follow anything on Twitter. Because it's just constantly like it's literally the only other time it's been like this for me is like right after the day after I do Rogan. The day after I do Rogan, it's always like a crazy Twitter explosion to the point where you just can't even like you can't even see who's responding to you because it's always like 20 plus, 20 plus, 20 plus. You have to just keep refreshing.
That sounds fun, dude. I'm a sucker for those notifications.
oh, just there's never not notifications, you know. But anyway, it's cool. You know, it's cool to get new people following, and hopefully new people following who I can, you know, hit with some real shit. You know, anyway. But I'm pretty sure, and I might be wrong about this, but I think I did this whole thing. Like, I think I just decided I'm going on a tweet storm about this, and it led to all of these other people tweeting about it. And then it just became this huge thing. Now, I could be wrong about that. Maybe it wasn't me. But all the other tweets came after I started going on this storm. And it was kind of like an interesting little moment, because you realize that it's like, okay, well, I kind of have the power with my platform to put pressure on all these other guys to do something. And then when they all do something and we're all doing it, then it, you know, like takes off into this thing where libertarianism is trending and the, like, everybody's commenting on it. I know I literally had the tweet, that's gotten the most traction of any tweet that I've ever done, I believe. As of right now, it's got like, 39,000 likes on it. I don't think I've ever gotten that much on a tweet before. And my tweet was, I really don't think people understand just how bad this COVID passport actually is. Look into it. It's not just checking that people got the vaccine. It's setting up a national caste system and a spying apparatus unlike anything in our history. This is it. The big one. Fight it. And I was really happy of all the tweets that I've posted in my life for that to be the one that got so much attention. And like, yeah, okay, I'm glad that's the one, because I really do, like, I really think I'm right about it. And I think that this is it. This is like the implementation of basically the Chinese social credit score. Like, this is it. As I said before in the stream and in the last episode, just to quickly recap, I think this is different. This is not like, it's different in kind and it's different in scale than anything else we could complain about, which we do complain about all the time. And sure, I don't like passports in general. I don't like government papers. I don't like governments. I mean, there's like none of it that I support. But it is very different to say, hey, you know, well, I mean, you already have to get vaccinated to go to public school, right? So what's the difference? You know, and it is so much different than that. And part of it is that they're calling it a COVID passport. That in itself is, you know, it's almost like calling it lockdowns or calling it collateral damage or whatever. You know, it's like these are all euphemisms. And it's not, I think that's part of what's so misleading. It's like, well, we have to have a passport to travel to some other country. And you, sometimes if you go to Africa or whatever, you got to get it stamped that you were vaccinated. So whatever, it's another, you know, passport stamp. But of course, it is pretty different in scale, and I would argue in kind, to say, oh, you need a passport to go to some different country, than to say you need a passport to go to work or to travel within your country or to, you know, go to a sporting event or a concert or something like that. That alone is much different and much, much worse. And like, you can be against all of them, but you could also, unless you're insane, I think recognize there's a really big difference between this and that. But then it's way worse than that, because that's not even what we're talking about. We're not talking about stamping a passport. You're talking about an app that is going to collect all of your data, that is going to be able to, that's going to locate, send the government your location, send them your medical history, and is going to tell you where other people are, whether they've been vaccinated. Even the people who are not participating in this app are participating in a sense.
Can you tell me where drunk chicks are?
It probably could, but they won't, because they'll never use it for good.
Sons of bitches, dude.
Yeah, they'll never use their power for good. So, you know, like, this is, and if you're a libertarian, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is it. This is the big one. And it's right in front of us. So let's get together and be against this. So I really started pressuring everybody to oppose it. And a bunch of people did. Now, again, I don't know. I don't know if like Justin Amash tweeted and his Twitter like was blowing up for a while too. Now, I don't know if he tweeted because I had started this whole campaign, but the Libertarian Party definitely did. They did it a couple hours later, and as I kind of worked everybody up to like really pressure them to take a stand against it. And they took a typically kind of weak stand against it, but they at least were against, at least they're on record against it. I appreciated that. I thank
I like their yellow star. The yellow star tweet was great.
No. Okay. See, that's not, that was the libertarian state. That was the Kentucky Libertarian Party.
Oh, well then the Kentucky people are awesome. They made Forbes magazine.
Did they?
Or they made a, there was an article in Forbes I read that had that tweet, and then it had some rabbi going, but seriously, you should stop it. You know, he was calling time out on Twitter. So, and then also you had Seth Rogen being like, I don't like this at all.
So here's what's going on here, right? So in the craziness of all of this, where we're all doing this thing and coming out about it, the Libertarian Party of Kentucky tweeted out a thing, and they said, why don't we just, you know, mark people with yellow stars sewn into their clothes? So, you know, like, that's okay, because if we're going to set up this national caste system, which is what we're talking about here, right? Very different. We're going to say there's one group of people who are allowed to travel, go to work, go to events, and there's one group of people who aren't. And the group of people who aren't are the ones who won't take the government fucking needle in their arm. So that was their comparison. Now, this unleashed a huge firestorm. I think that's great. I just think that's amazing that we're able to do that and reach a whole lot of people. Libertarians were trending. This is a big moment, and for the right reasons. Trending because we're opposing this. I wish we had been able to do this when the lockdowns first started. You know, I think that would have been an incredible thing to do. Maybe we would have had some impact and actually preserved some liberty over this last year. So I just thought, to me, I'm like, yeah, this is exactly it. This is the power of messaging. This is what we can do. And the other thing that I said on the live stream last night is it convinced me more than I've ever been in the past. And I've been pretty convinced that, man, if the Mises Caucus and like the good, strong libertarians could just take control of the messaging of this party, we could change the world. I mean, there's like no limit to what we could do. It is so powerful to just have a few, like even just a few Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers all directing one message. I mean, you can really you can shove this right in people's face and make them actually, you know, look at what you're talking about. Well, look at what this COVID passport really is. This is a fundamental change in our society, adopting the Chinese social credit system. Which, by the way, I don't think this is like hyperbolic. The Chinese government has already implemented a COVID passport. This is right out of their playbook. So, you know, this gets a ton of traction to the point that, right, like Seth Rogen and people are that like that are getting outraged. Now, first off, the outrage is just so ridiculous. I'm sorry. This podcast, we're a couple of Jews on this podcast. We can talk about this. The idea that it's outrageous to use a Nazi comparison, that's what they're trying to go with here.
I always thought, never forget. So these people are drumming up PR for the Holocaust. They're reminding people that there was a terrible thing.
Well, it does. It reminds me of the Gina Carano thing, where they're almost treating it like the response is almost as if they said something in favor of the Nazis.
Like, we need to reopen Auschwitz.
Yeah, like, or as if it was like that they were coming out and saying, oh yeah, we should really do what the Nazis did, or what the Nazis did wasn't so bad, or that's almost how they're treating it. But of course, that's not at all what happened. It's the opposite. They were saying, hey, we don't want to be like the Nazis, okay? Now, it's also quite rich. I don't know if you saw, I had this exchange with that Charlotte Clymer woman, some blue check mark with a few hundred thousand Twitter followers. And she was just like outraged. Oh, you should never, no one will take you seriously when you compare things to the Nazis. You should think about what the Jews really went through. She's lecturing me. I should think about that. And then people just start sending me all types of tweets from her. Oh, Trump's a Nazi. Trump's supporters are the brown shirts. The immigration detention centers are Nazi concentration camps. All this shit. So, of course, she's done it a ton. But I thought that was a really useful little moment to pay attention. Notice what's going on. This was my challenge to other libertarians. Peep game. See what they're doing here. This woman is not actually offended that somebody invoked a comparison to Nazi Germany. She's fine with it. And guess what? Neither is Seth Rogen. Okay? Seth Rogen exists in Hollywood. Has he been calling out all of the Nazi comparisons from Trump about Trump over the last 4 years? Has he been? Okay. If he is, and he's got a long history of saying, like, every time someone compares them to the Nazis, I'm against that because that belittles what actually happened in Nazi Germany, then okay, I'd give him a pass. But I don't think he is. It's just all – so just know what's going on here. They use this as a technique. They claim a monopoly on who can make Nazi comparisons. And that is some bullshit right there. Okay? So that's what's going on. It's not that people are actually outraged about it. It's just that, oh, this is politically expedient to be outraged about it this time when you don't agree with the politics. But, oh, if we could compare Trump – I mean, for all these people, look – I understand it's not the Nazis, but if you want to go down this like line of thinking, the president of the United States said a few days ago that voter ID or what they're doing in Georgia was worse than Jim Crow. Right? What did he say? He said it makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle or something like that. Right? I who the hell knows what he meant? But I think what normal people think that senile old man meant was that it's worse than Jim Crow. Now, okay, that's pretty fucking retarded to say. But if all these people aren't flipping out about that, why is it this? Why is it a little state chapter of the Libertarian Party says something and all of a sudden this is supposed to be so evil or over the top? Now, the worst you could say about it was like, you know, it's just you could argue that it's a little bit lazy to use the Nazi reference or comparison. Although technically they didn't even really use it. They were just kind of like, oh, should we do this? Like kind of being like, oh, should we really just blatantly go the Nazi route? You could argue that. You know, I prefer to compare it to the Chinese social credit system. I just think it's a little bit more of an accurate comparison. But give me a fucking break with all this outrage. And you know what? The counter to that argument is that this shit helped get it trending a lot more than it would have if they compared it to the Chinese social credit system. So you could make the argument that all comparisons to the Holocaust are wrong. All comparisons, and of course, they also weren't comparing it to the Holocaust. They were comparing it to Nazi steps that led up to the Holocaust. But you could make the argument that all of the comparisons are wrong. But you know what? From my perspective, if you're going to do it, this was about as good a time to do it as any. I don't know. Were you offended, Rob, as a Jewish person on this Passover? Were you offended?
I was not.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. So that's it. Officially, you got your Jew card. Two Jews here tell you it's okay. There's no problem there. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Bambi. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap. An average of $70,000 a year. Ugh, what a waste. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. Didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/POTP right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/POTP. Spelled Bambee.com/POTP. Go there right now. Schedule your free HR audit. All right, let's get back into the show. Let me say this, right? From like the fucking Jewish perspective, if there is such a thing, whatever perspective we have. I don't know about you, but couldn't you argue, because I kind of feel this way, that while it is a little bit tiring that so many people make comparisons to the Nazis all the time, like everything bad, you know, and there's in light ways too, you know, we call people grammar Nazis or, you know, the old Seinfeld soup Nazi joke or, But, you know, of course, the Trump is Hitler or the, you know, all of this
stuff.
We
need some new dictators. We need some new people to go genocidal so we can just mix it up.
And they got to be really good at it, you know, right? But isn't there also something, couldn't you make an argument that in some sense, if you really hate the Nazis, right, and you really recognize them as the evil regime that they were, that maybe it's not the worst thing that they're just known, they are so associated with evil that, you know, like, that's always, we're always going to invoke them and we're always going to be like, hey, we never want to go down a path that's similar to what they went down. Perhaps that's not the worst thing in the world. Now, you could also argue on the other side, it becomes a boy who cried wolf type situation where if you invoke it too much, it loses meaning. But again, we're talking about setting up a national caste system and a spying apparatus unlike anything this country's ever seen. If it's ever okay, this would be up there with when it is okay. All right.
Just talk to the Trump. When people were to say Trump is literally Hitler, I thought that was stupid. I don't understand the argument to say that that belittles what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust. That's just dumb. And then, and just to speak to how stupid it is, the fact that now they're flipping sides to say they're comparing things to the Holocaust, or it's just like, I don't know. It's a very bitchy, whatever that leftist bitchy move is. It doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah. But here's what was even, like, to me, the most interesting part about all of this was, right? So here you kind of saw a real little miniature test case of what the liberty movement is all about and who's on what side. And it was revealing for a lot of different people. And so, 'cause what happened is, right, all of a sudden this thing blew up. It's trending. Millions of people are seeing it. And so here's an opportunity where you could be like, well, let's talk about just how bad this government totalitarian policy is. Let's talk about how bad the lockdowns have been and how human liberty is the way to go and not government tyranny. You know, like, this is obviously that opportunity. And a lot of libertarians rose to that occasion and were like, no, we're ready to fight this. But a lot of people saw blue check marks all over the place, you know, furious with libertarians. And they went, oh my God, we can't have this. You know, you found out who were the people ready to fight and who were the scaredy cats. And this was on full display for everybody to see. And my basic argument is this, is that if we ever really are in any position to actually achieve anything remotely close to the type of human liberty that we want to see, we are going to be straight up battling up against the cathedral. That's it. We are going to be rolling back the biggest honeypot in the history of the world. This is no joke. They are going to come at us with everything they have. And so if you are such a bitch libertarian that as soon as blue check marks are saying nasty things, you hide under the desk and cower and apologize and then start throwing those people under the bus, the people who got you this attention and who were willing to go out there and fight, then it's a guarantee, an absolute guarantee that you will never achieve anything. You are not in this for this battle. You're not. You're worse than useless. Actually worse than useless. You're hindering the rest of us. Like, that, by the way, I don't begrudge anyone for not wanting to fight. I understand that. It might be a really important fight, but you know what? People get hurt in fights. I understand not wanting to fight. That's completely understandable. All I ask is that you get out of the fucking way for those of us who do. So if you're not ready to fight for this shit, then fine. But don't sit there throwing the rest of us under the bus because we actually tried to. We actually tried to fight. And you saw this all over the place. And of course, they'll convince themselves. They'll go, well, see, this was a disaster. Well, we were trending for all the wrong reasons. And look, everybody got so upset with us. Like, yeah, what do you think? How do you think we're ever going to really take on this power structure and not get people upset at us? Every single person who's somewhat of a threat will be demonized. And you know, please, again, it's so funny, when Bernie Sanders looked like he might beat Joe Biden, they were calling his supporters Nazis. They had no problem doing that. All of a sudden, Nazi analogies weren't such a bad thing back then. Then they were completely acceptable. They'll call you a Nazi in a second, but you point out that their Nazi policies are Nazi, and all of a sudden now what, we have to apologize for that? Fuck that. I mean, feel however you feel about using the comparisons, but I don't know. At least the Libertarian Party of Kentucky was fighting for the right thing. At least they were right. And again, you could, I think there's a strong argument to be made that they in some way like expanded the Overton window to, you know, instead of having a conversation about whether COVID passports were necessary or a violation of medical freedom, the conversation became, are they necessary or are they Nazi? To me, that's pretty valuable to stretch the conversation in that direction. So, you know, anyway, so people started flipping out about all this shit. You know, it was pretty embarrassing. But then the chair of the Libertarian Party, and this happened, or I don't know if this happened, I guess maybe not since I recorded the live stream last night, but I didn't see it. So I didn't see it to mention this, but here was Joe Bishop Henchman, who is the chair of the Libertarian Party. He was Sarwak's choice for the chair of the party. And here's what he said. This was his statement that he put out. In this opportunity, keep in mind, in the opportunity, when libertarianism is trending, and everybody, we have successfully, really, in an incredible way, kind of forced, to some degree, a conversation on a very large level about an issue that, to me, is like the most important thing that you could possibly imagine right now, okay? So while that is happening, here's what the chair of the Libertarian Party, the LNC chair, Joe Bishop Henchman, posted. He said, "Many of you have reached out to me regarding a tweet put out by one of our state affiliates comparing the privacy-violating and counterproductive vaccine passport proposals to the Holocaust. The LNC has been discussing the matter, and here is my email in reply. I agree that our party members have set up a structure where the national party and the national chair has zero control over state affiliate messaging. Whether you agree with that or disagree, that weak LNC model, with that weak LNC model, this is what party members have chosen to put in place. So while I disagree that even talking about what affiliates are up to is off limits, by design, the remedy rests within the state party. I also agree that it is gross, factually inaccurate, and frankly unimaginative and amateurish PR to use the Holocaust as a debating point on any issue other than the Holocaust. Yes, the Libertarian Party is trending on Twitter. Yesterday, but only because thousands of accounts are dunking on us as wrong and terrible and repulsive, greatly outweighing the internet trolls who prize edgy tweets over results. I've had calls and messages from donors, members, and Jewish organizations, and my read of the situation is that messaging like this is counterproductive to our fundraising, activist recruitments, candidate recruitments, and winning election efforts."
This guy sucks.
Yeah. So he takes this opportunity to come out and slam his own state affiliate party.
It's leftist maneuvers of we apologize and offensive behavior and it's going to affect us. It's all this dramatic bullshit. Let's just live without dramatic bullshit. You know what? Forget the politics. Forget fiscal talk. Let's just be the party of not dramatic bullshit.
Yeah, that would be nice. And it's the thing that really bothered me is that he calls it gross. Like, he goes out of his way to call it gross, but he refers to the vaccine passport as, quote, counterproductive. So that's the real issue with setting up a national caste system.
But that's the part that I attacked Joe Jorgensen for, and this stupidity is pretending that not niceness is the biggest problem in our society. That's exactly what you just said, that the passport and government taking away freedom for us is only casually an issue.
Right.
But the fact that somebody made a comparison to the Holocaust, well, that we all got to sit together, we really have to have compassionate training. The entire Libertarian Party, we need to sit down and we need to have a conversation about that, because if we're using terms like this, well, then, it's a lack of focus.
Yeah. It's a lack of focus, a lack of a hierarchy of values, you know, that this is, even if this is a value, it should be so down low at the bottom compared to all the other ones. But the truth is that it's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and condemn the Libertarian Party of Kentucky for coming out and taking a forceful stand against a really awful policy proposal. No, I'm sorry. Look, if everyone in the country had this attitude about lockdowns, maybe we wouldn't have lost so much of our freedoms over the last year. I wish more libertarians had this attitude about government lockdowns. But it's just this thing. It's like, oh, well, you know what? We upset so many people, so this is not helping us. It's like, yeah, dude, we're not going to win this fight without upsetting some people. So grow some thick skin. And to sit here and go like, oh, you're gonna throw your own people under the bus for a Nazi comparison? I mean, like, I it's just outrageous. How about all the other Nazi comparisons that are made all the time? How about the straight up accusations of people being Nazis that are made all the time? You're not condemning any of that, okay? But you are going to throw your own people under the bus. Look, I would have had no problem with him even saying a thing. Like, again, I don't know Joe Bishop Henchman. I've never met him.
He sucks. There's no reason to meet him.
Yeah, I guess not. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not like just trying to start shit with him for no reason. But it's like, come on, man. You're the fucking chair of this party. You're in this situation. The obvious thing to do here, and even if he wanted to distance himself from that tweet, he could have done it in a fine way. He could have been like, listen, this is a really important issue that just got brought up, and we are absolutely opposed to it. This is an outrageous violation of basic human liberty that the government has no right. They have no right to our medical information. They have no right to basically quasi-force us to take a vaccine. They have no right to be in bed with their corporate partners planning out how they can decide what Americans are allowed to do what. We are free people, and our rights are non-negotiable. Now, and if you had said something like, now I will say I find it unimaginative and, you know, something to compare anything to the Holocaust, because the Holocaust was so horrible, but this is really awful, creepy authoritarianism. Just say something like that. But if you want to distance yourself from the tweet, that's fine. You can do that. But don't do it. But don't throw the state party under the bus for being right on the issue. Your role is to fight for human liberty. And like, grow a pair. I mean, come on. And it's just like, it's unbelievable to me that in this moment, it just shows you, it's like they don't even want this opportunity. They don't want this. They don't want the fight. They don't want the heat. They want to fly under the radar as their little social club that never pisses anybody off, and we keep our little positions within it. And I'm just telling you guys, like, you can see it right here in front of you. This was like a great example, unbelievable example of the power that actually having the Libertarian Party could give you. And this is it. So to everybody, if you want to be a part of this shit, come join us. Come join us in the fight to take this back. To take back the Libertarian Party.
And if you want to see what it's all about.
By the way, let me just say, and the thing to do there is to join and to get Angela as the LNC chair. That's what we need. Angela McArdle to be the chair of the party. I can promise you this. She is not going to be throwing her own people under the bus who fight for liberty. She's not going to be throwing them under the bus when they are actually doing something impressive. In that moment, I guarantee you what Angela would have done as chair in that moment is what she already was doing, which is just supporting it. But in that moment when we're trending, she would start explaining to people how terrible the COVID passport is, how brutal these lockdowns for the last year have been, and how awful the new, you know, this new proposal is.
And if you... beyond joining, get involved, come out to live events, meet some other libertarians, see the movement in action. Porkfest, me and Dave are going to be out there. I think it's on Thursday, doing a live podcast and also a stand-up show. Dave will be hosting all of Freedom Fest. I think I'm going to the Oregon State Convention to do some stand-up. Nice. I will get that date on the calendar soon. But come out. You get to meet the other libertarians and get involved and actually vote so that we can make Mike Heiss's dream come true. And the Meat Hawks can rise and take the thing over.
Hell yeah. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is iTrust Capital, the best place to invest in physical gold and cryptocurrency. iTrust Capital. I think everyone in our audience knows all about investing in gold and crypto. Let's get real. The Fed has been printing a ton of money. This is going to have massive impacts on the value of the dollar. It's a very smart idea to invest in physical gold or cryptocurrency right now. And if you want to invest in gold or crypto, iTrust Capital is the best place to do it. The reason why is because all iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest in and trade your crypto and gold tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or other retirement accounts like a 401k, you can roll those over with no penalties or taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks. No keys, no complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. This is not a security or a derivative, a future. It's not a financial construct. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing. They're 90% cheaper than their competitors. So go to itrustcapital.com, and if you use the promo code POTP, you'll get your first month for absolutely free. One more time, itrustcapital.com, promo code POTP for your first month free. There's also a link in the description if you want to check that out. Also, if you're interested in learning more about iTrust Capital, I recorded a short conversation with the CEO of the company. It's posted in the Gas Digital sponsor page, so go check that out. itrustcapital.com, and that promo code is POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. And just to be clear again, this is almost like all of this stuff that we've been talking about is a sub point to what is the bigger conversation, which is that I really think, as I was saying, I think this is it. I think we are coming up against a fork in the road. And I said this on my live stream last night, and I'll just reiterate it here. The fork in the road is here. We have the opportunity in front of us, if enough pressure is put on right now, that we can go, no, look, guys, it's over. And we demand our freedom back. That's it. We have the vaccine out now. And you guys are all telling us how great the vaccine is, right? Like, that's the underpinning of all of this, of all the COVID passport shit, right? Is that you need people to get the vaccine because the vaccine works so much. Well, okay. Once it's available for everyone, then anyone who wants it can take it. And those who don't want it are comfortable with their risks. That's that. Now we're going back to being a free people. Period. The end. Non-negotiable. Or we can institute the Chinese social credit system, in which case we will never get out of it. And that's it. And then 2019 and before times are officially over forever. That's the fork in the road that we are at right now. And so, it's like if the liberty movement can't even be on the right side of that issue, pushing the conversation in the right direction, then I don't know. Like I said, I just think that, look, I've been trying to push this liberty unity shit for the last few months. I still believe in all of it. I'm open to work with anyone who's fighting for human liberty, who's a good libertarian, any of them. But the people who are not prepared to fight for that, they need to either man up and get ready to fight, or they need to get the fuck out of the way and let those of us who are willing to do it, do it. Because they're being worse than useless right now. They are hurting. That's just what's happening. So anyway, those are my thoughts on it for now. But in the midst of all that craziness,
as far as it seems like DeSantis is the only one who said, hell no, not in Florida.
Yeah.
And I guess luckily for us, he's made the best decisions of any governor thus far. So I think his ideas might actually hold some weight, and you can't really call him out and say, like, well, everything you've done has been terrible.
It's just insane. It's insane to even be discussing this COVID passport app right now. There are free open states where people are doing everything and they're not doing any worse than the lockdown states. This is all insanity. Like, it just, none of it makes any sense.
And a guy took Pfizer, or maybe it was Moderna today, and his skin fell off. So, you know, have fun with those vaccines, guys.
Yeah, you want your skin to fall off, or you want to be free? It's your choice. Anyway, man, I just, I think this is the moment right here. This is the moment to fucking make something happen and take a stand. So, that's that. All right. Let's switch gears, and I apologize. I'm on a little bit of a time crunch today, so this is going to be a little bit shorter of an episode. But I gave you the live stream last night, and I'll give you an episode of Tom Woods' show coming out later today too. So there you go, call it even. But I did want to talk a little bit about this guy, the Chauvin, the cop who's on trial, because I've been keeping up with a little bit of it, and I gotta say, I just want to get ahead of this right now and just tell you what I'm seeing here. I think this guy's going to get off. I just think that's what's going to happen. I've seen cops get off in far worse situations. His defense is arguing that everything he did is consistent with his training, and I think they're right. Now, don't get me wrong. That's complete bullshit that you should be able to argue that in a court of law, but this is the system that we live in. And I think this guy's going to get off. And I think when he gets off, there's going to be riots around the country. I hope I'm wrong, but this is what I think is going to happen. And I don't think the riots are going to be only in Minneapolis. You know, I don't think they're going to be contained to where this is happening. I think it's going to happen all around the country. So I think people should prepare accordingly. This is just what my gut is telling me right now is going to happen. And so watch out for what might happen over the next few weeks or whenever the verdict comes out of this trial. I don't actually know how long it's going to take, but I just don't see this guy getting convicted. I think that, and I don't see him being let off without there being riots. I just can't see either of those things happening right now. So we'll see. Again, hopefully I'm wrong. But how could people not riot when this guy is found not guilty after everything they've already done for the last year? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like they're painted into a corner. Like, well, how could you not go break shit over this, right? If you're already saying you're breaking shit over all this other stuff, then you'd have to go break shit over this. And I think that if there are riots, of course, there'll be, you know, tons of property damage. People will be severely hurt. Probably some people will be killed. It's going to be a shit show. And in some ways, part of it is not that anybody's morally off the hook. Like, everybody's culpable for their own actions. But you do almost see where people have been so propagandized about this story. Again, not that I don't think it was outrageous. It certainly was. But they've been so propagandized about what happened here that people are under the impression that this was like a racist execution. You know what I mean? And it's just not. It's just not what happened. And so if that's the impression you're under, that this, well, obviously this was like a racist cop who murdered a man in cold blood and then he's let off, of course, it makes it much more understandable to riot after this shit. So anyway, I don't really know if I have much else to say on the matter, but that's how I see this thing going. And get ready. I don't see how it won't be spread all out. I mean, it's almost like the whole apparatus is there already, right? The whole Black Lives Matter movement, all the people who protested before, it's just going to be like, okay, let's organize and protest again. And then they're going to turn into riots again. And it's going to be a nightmare. So that's what I see. I don't know. How do you see it going?
You're right. There will be riots. And I also, I haven't looked at the case as much as you have, but it just seems to me like if his training was to do what he did, and there's the reports that he didn't die specifically because he was choked, but because of all the drugs he had in his system, I don't really see how this guy ends up with a conviction. However, I'm going to assume that they're going to have to change that policy in terms of that using that knee thing. And I'm going to assume that they've done that. I mean, if they haven't, that's just insane. But I believe they paid out the family around $20 million. I think that was the figure I saw in the newspaper. Maybe it was 10 or 15.
Something like that.
I think some heads need a roll, and it's not this cop. It's not the cop. Like, what the cop did was tragic. It's horrible. And at the end of the day, even if you've got orders to do something terrible, you probably shouldn't follow through on that. And you have enough comp. Like, that guy was in my opinion, that guy was enjoying the fact that he had the free pass to exert his power and authority over somebody else. And he has that personality, and that's a negative. And that's something that we should, as people, figure out how to punish and get rid of. That shouldn't exist, where you end up with a job where you get a free pass to basically kill people. But that's the problem, is police power over the rest of us. That's the conversation that needs to be had. But almost, I think, with the police department, because the thing people are so upset about is really that the police stand above us with the power that they do, and that when these incidents happen, people don't get fired and they get away with it, and it becomes really transparent that there's this thing that does not work for us but stands like above us. The way to prevent the riots is you need the family and some community leaders. You need the cops to actually create some policy changes that go, hey, we're addressing this problem. Like, we're working with the family. You almost need the family to go, hey, you know, they made right by us, and obviously we don't forgive them, but let's not go destroy the country.
Well, I believe, you know, I could be wrong about this. I could be misremembering it, but I believe there were family members of George Floyd who were out there standing against the riots last time, and it did nothing.
Well, there, because I guess the media doesn't want to cover that story of, hey, let's not destroy our own town on behalf of.
Yeah, they did. It really did nothing to slow it down. So I don't even know. You know, I agree with you that the problem is state police and the authority that they have. And that this is the exactly what you just said is the essence of the problem, that they really don't work for you. And I had a whole bit in my hour special about this, but they really don't work.
That's
for you.
That's a great show. I wasn't planning on hiring someone today.
It was a solid one. It was a banger. Okay.
Go watch it. Libertas.
Go watch Libertas. It's up on my YouTube channel for free if you guys haven't seen it yet. But so there, you know, that is the problem, is that you work for them. They have that attitude, and they're very well aware of that. That cops are the boss. They are the authoritarian, and you are their subject. And that really is the problem, right? And that leads to so many other problems. When you've got, you know, the boss that has a monopoly on your security, lots of problems are going to ensue. But the truth is that what so many of the people who are outraged about this situation, they're not outraged about that. They're outraged about racism. And that's not really what this case was about. Yeah. And so it led a lot of people to believe something happened that didn't happen at all. But once you've got this whole situation that we're in now, assuming he gets off, which maybe I'm wrong and he won't, but assuming he gets off, I don't know what you actually could do. Because even if they actually come out and go, well, listen, we've fixed these seven policies, they're going to be like, but you're still racist. But you're all still racist killers. So who cares if the policies are fixed? And even if his family is asking them not to riot, I don't think that's going to stop it.
There was virtually no coverage of the cops that pushed over that old white guy, and they got completely off. So at the end of the day, it's the media, and it's the them creating this news story that this is a race issue, and there's really no way to correct for that.
That's exactly right. And it's unfortunate, but that's the situation we're in. All right, listen, I do apologize. I got to wrap a few minutes early on this one. I owe you guys a little bit. But, you know, I gave you the live stream the other night. I'll give you some more bonus content this week. But thank you guys for listening. Come check us out this summer, Porkfest, Freedom Fest. Rob's going to be at Childeberg and maybe at a state LP doing some comedy as well. He'll keep you posted on that. Go check out Rob's podcast, Run Your Mouth, and follow him on Twitter, at Robbie the Fire. And come follow me on Twitter if you're not already. Cracked over 100,000 followers on that puppy, which is all I really ever wanted. All I ever wanted was 100,000. Now I
got 100,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm up to like 102,000 followers now.
Jeez,
yeah,
baller, dude.
Yeah, bro, this fucking COVID passport shit pushed me over the edge. Look at that. Well, who'd have thought we might lose every ounce of freedom in the country? But you know, I got myself some more followers off of it. So, you know, it all worked out. All right. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys soon. Peace.